About nothing.
Whatever.
Makes no difference. Okay, tonight, chapter 9 of John, the Gospel of John. Verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he, and others said, He is like him. But he said, I am. Therefore said they to him, How were your eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they to him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore some said of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. By what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said to him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and doest thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Doest thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said to him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Oh, there's some good stuff here. Good stuff. Back to the first verse. As Jesus, if you notice that word Jesus was added in there, italicized. And as Jesus, or Christ, passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Who do you think it was? It was us. See, it was us. It was humanity, okay? You can take it all the way back. It was Adam, born blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It's one thing about humanity, and religion in particular, they always want to assign guilt. See, he came to take away the sin of the world, not assign guilt to anyone. True or false? See, and everybody in religion wants to assign guilt. Well, let them sign it if they want to. I'm not getting involved in that. He said, which one of them sinned that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, or responded, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest or apparent in him. Now, Jesus said, neither of his parents sinned. Is that what he said? The Bible does say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He wasn't saying they never sinned. So you got to hear what the Spirit's saying. He didn't say they didn't sin. He's saying their sin is not responsible for the man being blind. See how you can take those words, and if you read it without hearing the spirit of it, you can say, see, God contradicted himself. God didn't contradict himself. You have to hear what he was saying. This is an interpretation of this into the English language. He said, what he was saying was, their sin is not the purpose for this man being blind. It's not the reason for it. He wasn't assigning guilt, was he? He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can possibly, it's not possible for anyone to work. No man can possibly work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spit, the King James spat, he spit on the ground and made mud. That's what the language says, mud. If you spit on the dirt and rub it together, what do you got? It's not clay. You don't make clay out of spit and dirt, do you? It's mud. King James made it sound better if it's clay. But the word actually says mud. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made mud of the spit. And he, what? Anointed? No, he didn't anoint. It said he smeared upon his eyes, the blind man, the mud. Why can't they say that? The first time I ministered this, you know what I called this? The first body shop. When someone repairs an automobile, what do they call the stuff they put in the body? Mud. Okay. I said, this is God's first body shop. He started repairing bodies already. You know, Jesus is a body shop. He's a repairman, isn't he? Okay. And he said to him, go wash, right? That's not just what it says. The language says, go wash your face. What the language says, go wash your face. See? Now, what good would him go wash his feet when he had mud put on his eyes? So what's he going to wash? He had smeared on his face, so he's going to have to wash his face. He said, go wash his face. That's what the language says. In the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. So he was telling him, go do what you were supposed to do. He went and went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Why did he receive his sight? Because he was obedient. Simple as that. You think there was any power in the mud? You think there was any power in the water? Nope. The reason he had it, because he obeyed what God told him. Does that tell you something? What does it take for you to recover your sight in the Spirit? Just being obedient to God. Doing what God says to do, not what man has come up with an idea or interpretations or doctrines or theologies or all these things that they come up with, the formulas. What good do those do? Nothing. If I obey God, I'm going to recover my sight. You know why I can see what I see in the Word? Tell me why I can see it. I've stayed in the Word. If you continue in the word, you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth. That sounds like somebody's seeing something, doesn't it? See? And this word is actually what opened it up. See? I was just clay, and when he anointed me or spit on this chunk of clay, guess what? I got some eyes, and I could see. Isn't that what it is? You walk up to somebody today and spit in their face and see what they think. See? I was that ball of clay, and he dirt, and he spit on me and made me a mud ball, and then I seen. See? That's okay. I don't mind. As long as I can see what God's saying, I don't care about all this external stuff. I want to see what God's got to say. Like you said, Sandy, I don't want to hear that other stuff. I want to hear what God's got to say. Yeah, it just is. Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. The neighbors there, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, or was a blind beggar, is what the language says. They saw him as a blind beggar, said, is this not he that sat and begged? Now, one reason why they could identify this man was because blind people wore a special clothing to identify them in that Jewish culture. So they would know that man was blind, and they could help him. See? The word neighbors, is that's what it is. It really is. Surprising. But they got one right. The word neighbor is actually correct. Okay. Verse 9. And said, some of them, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Another said, he is like him. But he said, I am. And there's no he on the end of it. Now, what's I am mean? God. There you go. See? He knew what it was all about. Huh? He got some identity here. His eyes opened up and he began to see, hey, this is God. It's not man. It's not religion. It's not going to the temple. It's not paying tithes. It's not praying. It's none of it's God. Who did it? He didn't even ask for it, did he? God just chose to do it. That's what Jesus was saying. It wasn't about somebody's sin, this one or that one's sin. It's that the glory of God could be shown upon this man in the earth. That's all it was about. God chose to do it that way. Therefore said they to him, how were your eyes opened? Now this is typical of someone just getting started. And I want you to watch something, how this man progresses in his growth. Because you know what this is? This is a parable. It's about you. And he's showing you how you should be growing and dealing with religion in your life. Watch what this man does. He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus made some mud and smeared it on my face, okay, on my eyes, and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash your face. And I went and washed my face, and I what? Well, the word is recover. I recovered my sight. It's almost like received. That means he had it before. See, this man realized something. He didn't say, I got eyes. He said, I recovered my sight. That means he had to have known he had it before. And see, you're never going to know that you had it before until your eyes have been opened. See, they got to be reopened. They got to be that born again, that heavenly birth. That spiritual birth. When you come to that spiritual birth, guess what? You're going to realize, shucks, I've known this all along. I have people all the time tell me, do you know what you're doing to me? And I said, tell me what I'm doing. Said, you're making me see things that I've already heard. Said, I've heard these things inside of me. All you're doing is making me realize that it's a witness of what I already knew. I said, there you go. You're not crazy. It's just a witness that God is dealing with you in your life. Saying the same things. I hear it all the time from people all over the world. You're telling me things that God's told us, and we're out here isolated in a desert place. I said, well, quit murmuring and complaining then. If you're hearing God, what are you bellyaching about? See? Because the rest of these people that you think are living in this big society out here with man, all they're doing is bellyaching every day, isn't it? That's all they're doing, murmuring and complaining. And you want to be like them? No, thank you. I'm going to be different from them. I'm going to be satisfied in whatever lot I'm in. Didn't Paul say that? Be content with whatever lot you're in. Okay. But anyway, he told him, this man showed up, called Jesus, didn't even know who he was. Had no idea who Jesus was. Just a man called Jesus. He did all this stuff to me. See, most people would have been mad because they got mud thrown in their eye. Wouldn't they? This man said, hey, I didn't use them eyes anyway. They wasn't no good. They weren't no good, were they? A little mud in the eye, what difference? If you're blind, would it make any difference? Wouldn't make any difference to me or you or anybody else if we was blind. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, well, I don't know. I don't know where he's at. They brought to the Pharisees him that once was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And then again the Pharisees also asked how he had recovered his sight. Look how he answers this time. He said to them, he put mud upon my eyes and I washed my face and I do see. He's getting a little bolder. I can see an attitude with what he's saying. See, the first one was a Passover experience, and then his Pentecostal experience, he's getting a little cocky. Because he knows the Pharisees don't have the horsepower. Okay? And he said, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. See? Oh, man, you got to make sure you comb your hair on the right side. Worry about the rules and regulations. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division amongst them. Really? Hey, every church on every corner in this community is divided. They'll come together with some false idea of coming together and being oneness, and they only do it for the community to look at, and as soon as they get behind closed doors, they'll slander each other again. Yeah, there's division in their heart, see? I don't care what you do out here. If it ain't in your heart to be one, there's not going to be any. It's just a pseudo thing. Okay? And they said to the blind man again, what sayest thou concerning him because he has opened your eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. He's getting bolder. He's declaring what he is, isn't he? He's declaring. He's growing up. And this is all part of this process that we go through when we experience these things in our own life. We get Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles in our own life. But there's growth processes. And I see this guy growing every time he's questioned by religion. You know what this man had to draw on? He didn't have any doctrine. See? He drew on his own experience with God. And that's what I'm trying to show you. You got to do. You got to find this experience with God in the Word. And when you find that, you can become very bold. When Jesus preached, they talked about him and said, when have we ever heard someone preach with such boldness? And then his disciples said, hey, increase our boldness. Well, what are we supposed to be? We're not supposed to be arrogant and run out and scream and holler at people, but we have to be confident in what we're saying, know what we're saying, not think, because when you're thinking, you're not conclusive yet, but know what you're saying. If you know what you're saying, you will be accused of being arrogant and obnoxious because you're confident in what you're saying. Okay, that's from experience. You'll get it. If you know what you're talking about, they'll call you arrogant. No, I just know what I'm talking about. If I was still thinking about it, I'd keep my mouth shut. Okay, verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and recovered his sight until they called the parents of him that had recovered his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see? Well, this is the typical soulish person, parents, religion. Religion will always cover their own tail, won't they? And mom and daddy here, we kind of see them as the church system in our lives, the religious system. His parents responded to them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. They'll tell you some facts, but they ain't going to get out on a limb for you. Okay? But by what means or how he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak concerning himself. He's 18, he's on his own. Hey, let him speak for himself. Because how could mom and dad even know? Sure we do. We have to speak for ourselves. We can't let the church system or the religious system that we went through or experiences in our life speak for us today, can we? I got to talk for myself. You got to talk for yourself. See, if we sit back and let somebody speak for us out of those religious realms that we've came through, man, we're going to be in such a mess you wouldn't believe. Talk about Babylon. We'll be babbling all the time. You got to watch what you're doing, but you got to know what you're saying, okay? And again, we're seeing a progression in what's going on, don't we? See the man getting bolder and bolder. See, all these negative things, the accusations are coming at this man who didn't ask for anything, did he? Who chose to open his eyes? God chose to blind him from birth, and God chose to bring him back, and as soon as he did it, they start accusing this man. Why are they getting on him for? He got him given a miracle, and they're going to beat him up. And see, it's the same thing in the church realm. If you get your eyes opened and realize that mama's been lying to you for a long time, they're going to start throwing you out too. Watch what they do here. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. And see, many people will sit and do all kinds of things and they'll compromise in themselves because of fear of religion. Do you know how many people are afraid to stand up and they know that some of the truths we're talking about, but they're afraid to stand up because they're afraid they'll get thrown out of the church? Well, man, you should only be so lucky. You should only be so lucky to get thrown out of religion. Man, that's a blessing. And if God can get you thrown out one way or another, it doesn't make any difference. Man, you're better off. Because the Jews had all agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be what? The language says he should be excommunicated. Okay. Why don't they put these words in there? Make it easier, wouldn't it? But they should be excommunicated. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. See, in the soulish realm, in the first two realms of the church, guess what? They don't want any responsibility for themselves or anybody else. And they're always going to put it off on somebody else. And in our immature stages of our experience with God, we'll do the same thing. Go back and look through the prophets and see how many of them denied God in their infancy stages of experience. But once you have the experience of tabernacles in your life, the boldness will come to a point where you say, hey, it don't make any difference. You do what you want to do. I'm going to tell you what's in me. And it doesn't make any difference. Because what did we just read in Psalm 27? Who's doing the protecting? When you realize that you're a son of God, what have you got to fear? Someone tell me what you got to fear. Nothing. Right. See, when you know that God loves you unconditionally and you love him back the same way, what can you fear? What Romans 8 say? If God be for you, who cares who's against you? It doesn't make any difference. All that means nothing. Okay? Then again, or it's so a second time, so it should say, called the man that was blind and said to him, give God the praise, or the word praise here literally is doxa. It's glory. Give God the glory. We know this man's a sinner. Don't give nothing to Jesus. Give it all to God. Because they wouldn't recognize him. And he responded to them and said, whether he be a sinner or I know not. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. You think he's getting up on them religious folk a little bit? See, they're not making him cower down. All they're doing is exercising who he is. See, until you're tested, are you ever going to grow? until someone comes against you, you'll never know what's within you. See, how can you draw from that well within you, that deposit that God has put in your spirit, if you've never exercised it? You really don't. If you've never looked at the account to see how much is in there, how much can you draw out? It would be called doubt and unbelief and fear. And doubt and unbelief and fear will never draw the deposit of God out of you. It's so simple when you realize, I have to have these people attack you. How many people here have had people attack you over what you believe? Every one of us? Now, how many people liked it? Huh? Did you like it? You should love it. Because those attacks are making you who you are. If they don't push your buttons, you'll never change. You'll stay right where you're at. By them pushing your buttons, they're making you respond. They're making you stronger. It's just like isometrics. You can take and push on the door frame over there. You ain't not going to move that door frame, are you? You keep pushing on there. What happens to your arm? It's stronger and stronger. See, the resistance that's coming against you, all it's doing is making you what? Stronger. See? So why should I get upset about the attacks? Bring them on. Bring them on. It's the flesh that's crying out that doesn't want to be tested. But your spirit says, hey, bring it on. If that'll make me better, then I want it. That's our flesh. See? And this is not a popularity contest. If it was, we'd have runways and everybody could stroll down them, you know, see, like the beauty contest. It's not what it's about. This is about doing what Father has told us to do, nothing else. Not my will, but His will be done, right? Then verse 26, it says, they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? See? Now we want details. Religion's good about, let's see. 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, D. Let's get the formulas down. I want to know the formula. How do you do it? That's what religion wants. Who cares? He did it. The man can see. The man has an idea now who he is. He has some identity. Well, why do you care how he got it? See? They want to reason it away. It's all intellectual in religion. Okay? Verse 27, I like this answer. Some of the other translations says it better. He responded to them, he said, I have told you already. I hear a little rebuke in that. Is he getting stronger? Say, duh. Yeah. I have told you already and you did not hear. See, he knew something. He told them something, and he knew that their ears heard the words. The sounds reverberated off his eardrum, their eardrum. But he knew they did not hear in spirit. Because one thing you're going to do when you're born again by the Spirit of God, by the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, right? 1 Peter 1:23. And when you're born again by this Word, you're going to recognize somebody who is not born again. How long will it take you, Cindy? Yep. just like that, isn't it? See, you know when somebody is of like spirit. And when they're not, you know that too. It's instant. See? You already know because there's life there. Life begets life. And if there's any other life around, you're going to draw to it. And if it's not life, you're not going to draw to it. You're going to see it automatically. Okay? He said, you did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? If I said it again, would you hear it a second time? He said, do you want to be his disciples? I hear him having fun with this one. This guy's grown up, and he's saying, hey, I'm going to have some fun with these people. I know who I am. I realize now these people haven't got it. Now, is he slamming the people? No. He's slamming the religious traditions that they're working with. The bondages that they've got on the people. He's free now, see? The Son has made him free. And when you get free, you know what you do to the jail keepers? You scare them because they ain't going to have a job if the prisons are all open. The prison guards, they don't have a need for them if there's gates are open, are they? Okay. Yeah, they lose their elder buttons. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple." Do you know what that means? We want to stay under the law. And see, that's where most religion is. They want to stay under the law. Because I'm going to tell you this, there is not a church in the Passover or Pentecostal experience, and I'm not beating on churches as I get accused all the time, I'm just making a statement. In the Passover or Pentecostal experience, there is no church that doesn't have a rule or regulation. If you have rules and regulations, man-made rules and regulations, or you try to enforce what you think God said, you're still under the law of Moses. You're still Moses' disciple. Moses is a shadow and a type. He is not the reality. Christ is the reality. The only one who should be guiding your life or my life is Christ within you and within me. See? I don't have to make rules and regulations. We don't have any doctrines here that I try to force on anybody. I don't have any rules and regulations. Nothing. God made all the rules there needed to be. And when Jesus was asked in the Gospels, what's the greatest commandment? He didn't say, thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, lust or anything, did he? What did he say? Love the Lord thy God with thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor self. And these two are really one. Just love. So where's the rules and regulations? If you love, could you do anything else under those commandments? I don't need commandments if you love, do you? If you love truly by the Spirit of God, that's the only law there is. See? Love always forgives. Not sometimes, always. See? How could you ever hold retaliation, revenge, or something like that against somebody? It's impossible. See? There's the beauty of the whole thing. If I just learn to love, not according to man's idea, but according to God's way of doing it. And God's way is absolute, no strings attached. No matter what they do, they can nail you to a tree, and out of your heart, you'll speak the same message. Father, forgive them. Because they don't have a clue what they're doing. Do they? Okay. And what you'd really do, and see, really in Jesus' heart, his flesh cried as much as your flesh would cry, if they were doing it to you. But you know what? In his heart, he had to be rejoicing because he knew what was going on. And see, sons today should know the same thing and know, thank you, Father, for giving me this opportunity to be a sacrifice for the rest of creation. When he died, we died, didn't we? We should be thinking the same way he thought. This is my opportunity. This is my time to shine. I'm going to be nothing but a sacrifice. Never angry, never in retaliation, never even thinking revenge. See? That's a hard one for humanity. They don't know how to deal with that. They went on to say in verse 29, "We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from what source he is." See, they're slamming him. See, if religion can't slice it and dice it, if they can't put it in A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4, put some kind of a doctrine or formula on it, they're never going to claim it. See, because it's man in control when they can label it. And, humanity loves to label everything. It's good, it's bad, it's big, it's tall, it's short, it's skinny, it's fat, it's bald, it's got hair. They got labels for everything, don't they? Why do we care? We're all spirits, right? They would know him. See? It's the same today. If people really know who God is, don't you think they would know who his people are on the earth today? The man answered and said to them, watch him jump up. I like this. The man responded and said to them, Why? Because wherein, he said, why? Herein is a marvelous thing. Now, what the language says, where it says herein is a marvelous thing, the language says this is something that surpasses human comprehension. The word marvelous means this is something that surpasses human comprehension. And it does. See? He said this passes human comprehension. I can hear him saying now, I don't believe it. I don't believe you people are saying it. You've got to be dumber than a lead pipe. No. I'm expressing it in my words. You're dumber than a coal bucket, you know. They probably didn't have coal buckets back in either. They had coal, but no buckets. They probably had wicker baskets or something to carry it in. But what I'm saying is, this man's saying, I can't believe you people. You're sitting here watching the miracle of God, and you're still trying to put a tag on it. Why can't you accept God is miraculous? See? He's all powerful, and yet you still won't accept it. He said, that you know not from whence this man's source is, and yet he's opened my eyes. He's done something that no other man has ever done throughout time, and yet you're saying, we think he's a devil. Well, same thing to do today. Verse 31. Now we know that God hears not sinners. I think he's mocking them. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. Would you agree to that? I think he's mocking them. Because they're talking about sinners, God not hearing sinners. Well, you know what the book says about that? God pours out his spirit upon his sons without measure. You get the full dose. You get a straight 440 shot. You don't get this 110 or 220. You get the 440. Okay? Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Here he is teaching the religious folk. And you know what it's going to do? Offend them. It's going to offend them. I get asked all the time, where did you get your degree? I said, I got mine from the master. Okay. I didn't go to no school to be taught. Doesn't John 14:26 say, I'm going to go away and send you another comforter who is the Holy Spirit, and he shall teach you all things. Well, okay, that's where I'm getting mine. I'm not going to some university somewhere and learning the doctrines of religion. Why do I need that? See, you don't need that. All you need is to let the Spirit of God in you talk to you. You need your eyes open. You need someone to make some mud and smear it in your face. You need somebody to spit in your eye. It'll straighten you up when you wash your face. Oh, sure it will. And then you can wash your face. And you know that water washing your mind, see, it'll reveal your identity. It's all it takes. It's nothing great. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. All you have to be is a man or woman of God and be his disciple. Follow after him. That's all it is. There's no doctrine or formula or you just be who you be, because he set you out before the foundation of the world. He's already set it out anyway. And he says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Don't you know about right now them guys are burning? Religion is burning. They answered and said to him, was thou altogether born in sin, and doest thou teach us? And what they do? That's where I like to write this. I got it written in my Bible by verse 34. This is Bob and Bertha better than you. That's religion. What? Same thing. It'll work. Sure they do. Absolutely they do. Huh? They're retaliating, right? They're trying to defend themselves and save their reputation. Had a woman the other day call me and said something about her reputation. She said, all this stuff going down, and said, I'm getting my reputation shredded. I said, well, good. She said, what? You don't understand what he's doing? I said, sure I do. Wasn't Jesus a man of no reputation? You think you're supposed to have one better than him? I don't think so. She said, well, I never thought of it that way. And I said, you should. If you're thinking with the mind of Christ, you'll realize that. See? Don't be defending yourself. Let it go. Let them do what they want to do. So that's religion's answer. If you don't look like us, walk like us, and talk like us, cast them out. Excommunicate them, right? Jesus heard that they had cast him out or excommunicated him. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe what? Not on, but into the Son of God. Do you believe in the Son of God or into the Son of God? The word is ice. Do you believe in there? Into God? And he responded and said, who is he, sir? Now, wasn't Lord. Language really says sir. Because why would they call him Lord if he didn't know who he was yet? See? So he says, who is he, sir, that I might believe into him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks, what? In the midst of you. Yeah, it's the one speaking in the midst of you, not with you. Where does God speak to you? It's in the midst of you, in your spirit. God doesn't talk to flesh. See, that's why people have a problem thinking and hearing God. They're trying to hear with these protrusions on the side of their head. So you hear with your heart, with your spirit from internal. That's how you hear God. God doesn't speak external to us. He speaks by spirit. Why does God want to communicate with flesh for? He doesn't. See? God's not of this worldly thing, this fleshly thing. See? He's spirit inside of here. If we understand that, it's a lot easier. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. The word worshipped here is proskuneo. It means like a dog licking his master's hand. You know, you can come home, your dog's been home all day by himself. He don't care what kind of day you had. He don't care who came against you. He don't care if you've been laying down, crawling in the sewer. What's he going to do? Proskuneo. 4352 in the Strong's. 4352. He's like a dog licking his master's hand. And if you can be handling anything you can imagine, and that dog will still jump on you and lick you, won't it? See? He's still faithful to you. He'll still worship you. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, in order that they which see not, cross out the word might because it's not there. He said, I come into this world in order that they which see not, see. So the ones that were blind are going to get their eyes opened, right? They're going to recover their sight. And they which see be made blind. Cross that word might out too, because there's no doubt about it. They're not going to maybe be made blind. They're going to be made blind. Because when you say might, that's still like a possibility, isn't it? And that's not the word's not even in there. It's added. And some of the Pharisees were with him, heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Could have said, you said so. And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. You're responsible. See, what you hear. There's nothing in this book that says you what you believe is what you're accountable for. You remember when Jesus sent his disciples out, two by two, there was 70 of them, and when he told them to go out and enter into the house and release your peace there, and if it settles there, to stay there, but if they don't accept you there, what did he tell you to do? Shake the dust off your feet and leave. And he said that dust on the day of judgment would stand up and testify against those that rejected you. Now, does that mean that those people had to believe it before it made them accountable, or were they accountable because they spoke it there? What you hear is what you're accountable for. You don't have to believe it. You've heard it, see? If you don't believe it, whose fault is it? Hear with the intent to respond. Hearing with the intent to respond. Yeah. See, naturally deaf or whatever, I mean, not deaf, we can hear sounds, but that doesn't mean we understand them, does it? Or comprehend what was said. We have to hear and comprehend with the intent to respond. We have to first understand what was said spiritually before I can ever respond. If I'm quick to respond to something like you were talking about earlier without thinking about the repercussions of what you're saying, you know, you can get in a lot of trouble. Knowing the truth. So we should be swift to hear and slow to speak. If we do that, guess what? Things will be great. Any other questions? Comments?